Okay. Chairman Brad Holton, I'm going to call the meeting to order. We are meeting as the Canyon County Board of Equalization. This is a continuation from earlier this week. Present is Commissioner Brooks and Commissioner Van Beek. This is agendized as a 345 agenda item. Meeting as the Board of Equalization hearings and matters, and we're again coming back to continuation of protest 26002. And if you who are going to speak would be sworn in, let's do that first before I proceed.
Roger Craig, Lisa Walker, Tim Flaherty, Martin Flaherty, if everybody raise your right hand, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. If staff would be so kind to remind me where we're at and what information we were going to be needing to glean from the protesters.
Should you do that, Lisa? Should you do that, Laura? He asked what staff, where we're at.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Roger.
The applicant has not demonstrated that the subject property is used exclusively for qualifying internal purposes as required by Idaho law under Idaho Code 63-602C. And so this was continuing from that.
Okay.
I think he had some more information to share.
Okay. All right. All right.
Thank you. I have, they told me to bring six, so I brought six packets. Can I bring them up to you again?
Sure.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I did, yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, could I say something before
yes.
we? I just want to say thank you, number one, to the board, the commission, for giving us a little extra time, and two, to the staff and to the attorneys who gave us extra time. They met with us for what seemed like an eternity on Monday, where they sat with us in a conference room. The elected assessor was there. They asked a ton of questions. We were able to answer a ton of questions. Above everything else, I feel like your staff has done a wonderful job. So, and I know it's that they don't work directly for you, but the county has got some really good employees that are working for them. And I wanted you to know that. I didn't want you to go out of here thinking anything but that. Even though we may have a disagreement, it wasn't disrespectful at all.
Good. Thank you for that.
Do you want me to go down this packet for you real quick?
So I don't want any repetition from last time. To me, and correct me, commissioners, if I'm wrong, is we were concerned about the issue of the organizational charges on membership, and so if you're able to be able to debate that for me, that would be helpful.
Absolutely. So after meeting with the assessor's office, I started doing some research, and because it seemed like their chief concern, like you just said, was that we charge a membership fee for one of our programs. That is an insignificant amount of money compared to our total budget, and it is nominal in terms of whether or not someone could afford it. It's $1 per month, and it is waivable should somebody. In fact, today I did waive it for a school teacher. I learned that there's this thing called Sunny Ridge, which turns out is a case here in Canyon County, and it lays out eight factors that a charity must meet in order to qualify for property tax exemption. And I'm not a lawyer, but I did spend the last couple of days reading the case. I've provided the case in the packet. And then I tried my best to go point by point down the factors for you so you could see. And then I got to thinking about on Monday when you guys were addressing a different gentleman who was here, and he had a house that was kind of on a busy road, and you had said, did you provide any other examples of anybody else or any other houses or any other values? And I thought to myself, those commissioners are going to want to see some other examples. So I went out and I found two other examples of charities in the community that are pretty well known that do similar work to what we do. Now, they have thrift stores. Our, if you want to call it a store, I don't like to do that. It's a community warehouse. Is not open to the general public for people to get items or source items from us because the items we receive are donor restricted, meaning the donor gives them to us and says, you will give these to schools, churches, nonprofits. Okay. But the property is open to the general public in that they can come and they can browse and they can see and anybody, regardless of income, can qualify for our services. On top of that, most of our programming is free and available to the public without restriction. So the hang up that we have here is on a dollar a month fee that we use to pay for a software that allows us to certify and ensure that eligible parties are accessing our donations that we're passing through from a corporate donor to a school, a church, a nonprofit. It's not a membership fee in the traditional sense, like, hey, come here and you can work out in our gym. It's not like that. It's a nominal fee that we're using to cover the cost of a software. So that I would say is my best case, is that, you know, for the county to look at this and say, hey, these people charge a fee for one of their programs, which is meant to defray a cost, simply. And because of that, they're not eligible for a tax exemption. I would ask the commission to look at all the other evidence in total and all the good that we do and the Sunny Ridge factors, which I've laid out here. And I'm willing to go point by point, but I think you could just see straight down here. And we've provided evidence for each one of these factors in our packet on Monday and then again here today. And I think we do qualify. I will say this. When we originally applied for this exemption, there was one person working our case in the office. I forget the name of the person. But that particular person, they did tell me, and it blanked. That person left the office, if I recall, and then a new person took over our case. I think in that, there was some confusion about this one particular program. And so I don't think there's any malintent. I just think that this fee and whether we sell or don't sell goods has caused a lot of confusion. We don't sell goods. We don't have a seller's permit. We cannot collect sales tax. I provided in your packet on Monday a letter that details that pretty extensively and a letter from the state saying, okay, good, you don't have to get a permit. So I recognize that this is a little tiny bit weird, but I've tried my best to give you guys apples to apples. And in the hopes that y'all and the attorneys would agree, hey, you know what? This is simply a case of confusion. These people are doing a lot of really good things here in Nampa and in Caldwell and in the more rural communities in the county, and we want to help them. You know, we're alleviating a burden, and this will be the last thing I say, unless you have questions, we are alleviating burdens that the government would otherwise have to pick up. We're about to distribute, 1,000 backpacks to kids in the community that cannot go to school without those supplies. And if they do go to school without those supplies, the schools will have to pick up that cost. And we provided evidence of that particular program. We work with the Nampa schools, the Caldwell schools, the Valley View schools, the police departments. So for all of that, we're asking that you grant our appeal and allow us our exemption, and don't force us to go to the next stage where I have to spend, whatever amount of money on the lawyers and all of that, because I'm the, we're all just Idahoans, all just trying to get by, all just trying to do the right thing. And I think a simple piece of confusion, there's enough evidence here that everybody can agree that we qualify. And thank you again for the extra minutes.
Okay, thanks.
Chairman, quick question. Did you by chance bring your Ada County exemption that we talked about last time? You had gotten a full exemption in Ada County. Did you bring that piece of information?
Yes, ma'am, I did. I gave it to the assessor when I met with him in his office.
Okay.
Awesome. And we had, we had 4 years that we owned that building that we were granted the full exemption.
Okay, thank you.
And ma'am, we had this, Mr. Chairman, we had this program, I believe, for 3 of those years. It might have been 2 of those years. I'm not exactly sure how or when the exemption gets granted.
Okay.
But we had it from 2020 until 2024 when we sold that building. And then it took us about another 18 months to find the building we got in Nampa and buy it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss it in the packet.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Staff? Or Laura, do you want to rebut?
I have a couple of questions for you, Mr. Clark.
Yep.
Only 2, I think, actually, or 3. Can you confirm, I know we got your articles of incorporation and your bylaws, but can you confirm that Estagos was organized for the purpose of providing aid to the homeless?
That was to provide homeless services.
And have those changed since, I think, 2016 or 17?
Since 2017, we've expanded the works that we do. We don't just exclusively help the homeless. We still help the homeless.
But those bylaws and articles, have those changed?
No.
And then the purpose now, at least from what the documents you've submitted and your testimony, obviously charitable, but it's changed then to a community warehouse or distribution service, basically, not direct aid to the homeless?
We still do direct aid to the homeless. One of our programs which is most attractive and marketable is our community warehouse, which is why it's highlighted in the way it is.
So at least some of your programs would aid the homeless, is that way?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you talked about Sunny Ridge, and I'm not really asking any more questions, Chairman and the Board, but Sunny Ridge, long established, Mr. Flaherty's right. There's 8 different factors, but we're sticking to the statute here under 63602C. And under those Sunny Ridge factors, you get through 1 and 2, but if you don't meet the exclusivity factors, you don't next 6 factors, and that's under the Student Loan Fund of Idaho versus Payette County case. It's 138 Idaho 684. It's a Supreme Court case. So with 1 and 2, if you can't meet that exclusive use, don't have to analyze further. And the documents that we have and the assessor have don't get us there. Don't get you there at this point. There's no doubt that you guys are organized as a charitable organization under 501c3, but with what we have in front of us, we can't determine whether that's meeting the exclusivity. It doesn't seem to be, given that your articles, bylaws are homeless services, and you're now operating a market or warehouse, helping people but not direct to the homeless. And under the statute, unless those match, you can't get the property tax exemption. I don't know if that makes sense. And I can expand further if the board has questions.
Could you explain the exclusivity portion of it? Like, who else is using this building? Is that where you're getting at?
It could be that, but under the statute, so the warehouse right now would fail that test because the revenue derived from membership fees, I don't know if it's revenue or how it's in, you know, how that is categorized, but it looks like that's revenue because they're paying for it. Not directly related to the charitable purpose homeless aid for which the organization was organized. So that's the kicker right there.
Okay.
Chairman, can I ask a follow-up question for that? So the initial fees of $1 a month are covering the expense of the software, and then the 501c3, are those other donations just a part of, because a nonprofit, and I'm speaking from a relatively uninformed standpoint, but nonprofits do receive revenue and still maintain their nonprofit status. And so does the assessor's office have more information, or is this more in the weeds to elevate up to the BTA for, like, what would they need in order to prove that they qualify, given that they've provided information from Ada County that they met the standard for tax exemption? What's missing for that element in Canyon County?
Well, Chairman and Commissioners, I think I don't know what all might be missing, because if you stop after the second factor, you don't go into the other factors. So I guess the first step might be to update your articles and bylaws and have that match, or at least have the argument that it goes to the homeless. And there could be some, I don't know what else follow after that, but you don't get into those analyzing the donations through Sunny Ridge unless you meet the statute, those exclusivity factors from your bylaws and articles. I mean, we're organized for this, yet we're now doing this. Those have to match. And it doesn't take away from what Estagos is doing at all, where you just have to stick to the statute here.
So their internal bylaws are really standing in the way of defining how that code is interpreted, is what I heard you say and said differently.
Commissioner Van Beek, that at this point, that would be the first barrier. We haven't analyzed further. So if that's just on its face, if you don't meet that, you don't go further. And that's the Sunny Ridge case, and it's also the Student Loan Fund of Idaho case that I mentioned.
Staff, do you have any further input?
No. We're standing with legal on that, because we kind of getting advice from them on this one. It was because we didn't feel warm and good about it, so we spoke with Lauren. We're going to go on what they say.
So if we choose to uphold because of the technicalities, they still can go before the State Tax Commission and argue their case. So you're not at the end of the road.
Chairman and Commissioners, yeah, that's correct. I wouldn't call it a technicality, because those are statutory requirements, and that is a Supreme Court case, but that would be a step Estagos could take to line these things up and get into that further analysis at the BTA.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, questions, comments?
Well, Chairman, I do want to comment that I think that this organization serves a good purpose. We don't create the laws. We just have to uphold what's outlined and interpreted. I think you've presented a good case, and I wish you the best. I don't have an argument to, I guess, grant an exemption with the testimony that's on the public record on the interpretation of that code. And so those would be my thoughts, Chairman.
Yeah, I would concur. I think that you've gotten, unfortunately, stuck in unintentionally got stuck in a nuance of the criteria. There's no question that you're doing good work, and it's frustrating as a member of the BOE to end up in a position that I need to choose that I'm going to uphold the assessor's determination, but I have to be consistent. And there's been other nonprofits that have not followed the explicit rule of nonprofit operations, and they lost that exemption for a year. And so you're not unique in the fact that you're close, but you're not close enough to meet it clearly. So put your guns down. You don't need to buy any lawyers. You just need to do your homework, get some legal counsel, and go to the State Tax Commission with your case more clearly outlined. And perhaps between now and then, you could modify bylaws, or you could do whatever you need to do to be clearer about what the membership is, because you gave me two examples that I can walk into either one of those brick and mortar places. I don't need to be a member. I don't need to be nothing. I can walk right in the door, choose to purchase or not purchase, and walk right out. And so they are not one-to-one examples. we have to see comparables, and that on its face is not comparable. It doesn't matter that you have better intentions and you're doing a different work, and it's really important. I don't want to belittle that in the least, but I have to be consistent, and so I would find myself being inconsistent if I would allow you that with the conditions that I'm aware of right now. Mr. Brooks. Commissioner Brooks, do you have?
No, Mr. Chairman, is a motion in order?
Yes.
Okay.
Could I ask one thing before you make your motion?
Sure.
Would it be possible to just ensure that the exhibits that I provided today to the board and then also Monday to the board be included in the record, along with the legal factual findings or whatever, so that, because at this point, I gave it the old college Idahoan try, but we got to hire lawyers at this point, because I don't know, you know, what your guys' attorney just said. It, you know,
I don't really understand it.
But it's okay. I just, we know it's 4 o'clock and it's a holiday weekend. But if you could just do that for us, then we could give it to them and then they can go from there and do all the things that, you know, will make the council feel comfortable and the staff at the Assessor's Field Council. And then next year when we come back to you guys, it'll make y'all feel comfortable. That'll help us.
That helps. The Sunny Ridge criteria is pretty straightforward, and you can't look at it prejudicially. You have to really meet one and two before you go on to any of the others, and you fail on one and two. So that's the clearest way I can say it. You might, if you need to attain legal counsel to describe that for you, then that's what you're going to need to do. But it is frustrating. That's the trouble. You're doing good work, but it's a nuance of the law that you're not meeting the criteria that it's set to meet. And if you are charging and you're exclusive, I cannot walk into your location and participate. You've told me that. I'm not a school teacher. I'm not any of those, and I haven't paid my dollar. And so it has to be equal to all. And it isn't. That's at the lowest level. And so there's a couple other issues, but.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion before we get in too much of a back and forth here.
Go for it.
Seeing as the burden of proof is on the applicant and I do not have substantial proof to not uphold the assessor's value and our own legal is suggesting that we uphold this, I guess, through her comments and saying that the application does not have enough proof itself. And based upon Idaho statute, I move that we uphold the assessor's value for protest number 26002.
I will second, and with discussion, and that would allow them to move the Board of Taxation and take the documentation that you've collected so far, make a presentation at the state level.
Okay. All right. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay.
Thank you.
We can do that. Okay.
Could you include all that stuff that I, all the exhibits and stuff I gave in the record? Did that go in? So that my...
It will be.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be a part of the record.
All right. Thank you.
And you're welcome to contact the assessor's office and try to work with them in between on your way to this tax commission, because it'll be months and months away.
Yeah. Okay.
And you do what you do, but I don't know that you immediately need to run out and get a lawyer. You need to do some more communication and hear what they're saying that we have to work under and see what you might be able to modify or amend in your organization to get into that narrow line.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you.
All right. there's no other, is there any other business? There is business.
Oh, you have it right there.
Oh, I have it right here.
Chairman, Commissioners, I have a assessor adjustments. This is sheet 5. Just wanted to go over with you. We have some changes. This is in regards to appeals that were withdrawn that were supposed to meet at 10:30 about for Treasure Valley Marketplace.
Oh, okay. Yes.
We came to agreement prior to hearing, so it was withdrawn. I have 4 that were complete withdrawn with no changes. Do you want me to put those on the record?
Yes, please.
Okay. So for appeal 26128, 26129, 26130, and 26132, those values were, are those hearings, appeals were withdrawn with no valuation change. These are all for Treasure Valley Market Centrical. However, I do have 9 accounts that we did make adjustments on that are on the sheet for appeal 26120, 26124, 26125, 26126, 26127, 26131, 26135, 26139, and 26140. And those are laid out, the adjustments on that form.
And Chairman, just for clarification for the public, for somebody trying to follow this, you did not include the first 4 on this sheet.
The first four were withdrawn with no value adjustment. Correct.
Thank you. Chairman, I move that the board approves the assessor adjustments to 2026 certified values number 5 for the 9 accounts that are listed as presented.
I second.
Commissioners, there are 3 other accounts on there. I didn't know if you wanted me to speak on those before you approved this.
Oh, I see.
Just counting them.
Okay. You did the first 9 as a group, so.
The first 9 as a group because right. We're all the same entity.
Okay.
I do have 3 more on there. The first one is for parcel. These were not appeals. These were adjustments made after the fact. So the first one is for parcel 33938162 for Traditional Capital Partners. This one was a land adjustment for the Riverwalk sub. It was one that I missed in regards to the sheet I turned in the other day. I found it as I was posting values and making those changes, so I just wanted to make sure it was on the record as well that one did get adjusted too.
Okay.
The next one is parcel 29015000 for Fred and Linda Living Trust, or Fred and Linda Spangler Living Trust. This was a home fire that was, the home burnt down the first of the year, so we removed the home and the outbuilding. Usually we do a casualty loss on these, but this was done right at the first of the year, so it was an adjustment. And we just hadn't gotten out to get pictures and get insurance
information. Oh, okay. All right.
So that was just supplied to us, so we went ahead and made that adjustment for that one. And the last one is parcel 32668100. This is for Chicksaw Subdivision HOA Inc. This parcel was moved into the HOA name prior to the fourth Monday in June, so it is no longer taxable as a homeowners association parcel, so we took the value off of that.
Chairman, then I'll amend my motion to include the last 3 parcels as she's put them on the record. So there's 12 altogether.
Correct.
Do you amend your second?
Well, technically, Mr. Chairman, she read off the entire sheet, so they were included in that. So I don't think any amendment's necessary, but.
Well, I only said 9, and there was 12, okay. So I just like to there clarify.
12 of them on that sheet.
Yeah.
Yes, second.
Okay. All right, I think we understand what we're gonna be voting on. All right. Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Is there any other business for today?
No.
All right.
Chairman, I move we adjourn.
I second.
Motion has been made and seconded for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Let's consider ourselves adjourned. Thank you.